Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. I'm Alex Davis, a member of the Del Rey Star Wars editorial team, and before we get going, a word of caution. These conversations may contain story spoilers. Right now we're talking to Daniel Jose Older, author of a story called Stet. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So, Forlom and Zuckuss. For no real reason beyond their crazy bug faces and the fact that they're simply there, these guys might be my favorite characters in the original trilogy.
Word.
So, beyond force connection, reading my mind for the characters who I would love most to see embodied, how did you decide on these guys?
That really is one of my favorite moments in the whole movie. And I know this has been said time and time again, but there's so much greatness in the fact that we just sort of pan along this motley crew of like, of villains, you know, and we don't get to know any more about them. They're just standing there sort of awkwardly. Right. But they're like the aesthetic of it and the way they're dressed and everything tells so much of a story. And I, like many people, love and am fascinated by the Star Wars underworld and, you know, all the many possibilities that that opens up and entails. And Jabba's Palace is actually my favorite Star Wars moment of the whole thing. And, you know, so I definitely wanted to do a bounty hunter. And then those two, there's just so much to explore, right? Like, there's not a lot out there yet. There's some great stuff by my fellow High Republic writer, Kevin Scott, in Star Wars Adventures, and there's some legend stuff, of course. But really, there's just a lot to do and a lot to explore and talk about. So, you know, how could I resist?
Yeah, like, who are these guys? Why does that one look like C-3PO with, like, a fly head? Like, what is going on with
that? Right. And I love that Zuckuss has this, like, mystical quality to him, but he's also a gangster. And I mean, mystical gangsters, like, that's absolutely, that's my crossroads right there.
So when this story first came in, I remember the email said something like, bear with me, this is going to be kind of weird. There were editorial comments already in the story, like in the Word document. And I was like, what is happening here? How did you come up with the banana pants idea to have an editor bot editing this story?
That's the word for it. It's funny because I knew it was the right thing to do because I couldn't figure out how to get into the story until I realized that that was how I was going to get into the story, right? And I also knew it was a little bit of, I didn't know if it was possible. Honestly, when it occurred to me, and I don't remember how it occurred to me, but however, when I was trying to think through the story, and then I was like, it'd be really fun to like have a different voice in there kind of commenting on the side, right? So the story could almost be in conversation with itself somehow. And I think that's when I was thinking about how, oh, you know, that's actually true. You know, every writer gets edits back and there's an ongoing conversation in the piece. So the idea of it being like an in-world edit and an in-world conversation, it really spoke to me, and I thought it would be a really fun and exciting way to do it. I also recognized that it was in danger of being immediately gimmicky. And so I had to sort of struggle with that in myself and be like, am I going to risk how gimmicky this will come across if it's going to, you know, but the payoff is like, it'll really tell an interesting story in an interesting way. And, you know, so eventually I kind of put it away for a while and tried to write the piece without it, and it wasn't working. So I had to come back and be like, you know what, let me try that editing thing and see how it goes. And it felt really right. So I rolled with it.
Yeah, well, it's really a stroke of genius to have it be an Imperial droid and just seeing all the like references to Imperial atrocities being struck out and everything. Would you say that in a galaxy far, far away, my job has been fully automated, or is like TK7 a special or just Imperial case?
Let's hope not, because you know editing does take a human touch. But I'm sure that there will be a world in which people forget that, and it'll be a struggle to find that work.
You, this story is, to put it lightly, hilarious. Your writing has always, for Star Wars, been super funny. And, you know, there's this vein of comedy, like, all the way through what is often thought of as, like, an epic franchise. You've got bizarre, inexplicable space diners out of nowhere. Can you talk about what draws you to the comedic aspects of the franchise?
I think what I love, one of the things I love the most about Star Wars is the balance of it, right? And balance is a very particular thing, I think, for every writer, you know, for every viewer, and Star Wars kind of runs a gamut of different balances and different tones, you know, throughout, whether it's the Clone Wars or the original trilogy or, you know, all throughout. But it's within a certain parameter, right? Like it goes dark, it doesn't go too dark where you're like traumatized. It's funny, but it always still really takes itself seriously. And the humor is never at the cost of like believing in the larger world or caring about the characters. And for me, like having grown up on Star Wars, that kind of sets the tone. Like that's it right there, that balance. So I love that. I've always loved that about Star Wars. And those laugh out loud moments work even better because they're kind of few and far between. And because they still really like work within the world, right? They never take you out of the world. And so that's what I'm always going for as a Star Wars writer, is to sort of get to echo that, or to be, you know, in harmony with that larger comedic balance that they strike. But then when you have a character that refers to himself in the third person, like that's automatically hilarious. Like, that's so funny to me. It's so ripe for lots of different possibilities. And so much of writing humor, I think, is like finding those possibilities and allowing them to play themselves out naturally within the story. So when Zuckuss is talking to himself in front of the bouncer, and he's like, you know, well, Zuckuss would never do that, or whatever he says, and the bouncer's like, who's Zuckuss? You know, like, I love that moment because you know, as the reader, you know who Zuckuss is. You've been reading about him for the past couple of paragraphs. And so, you know, and Zuckuss clearly thinks that everyone knows who he is. So you just have this kind of clash of worlds that that really appeals to me.
Now I'm curious, what, in your opinion, is the funniest scene in the Star Wars franchise?
Man, in Star Wars?
I hate to put you on the spot, yeah.
No, right? Oh, crap. Ooh.
We can think about it. We can come back to it.
It's a great question, because I have a couple, but none are like standing out as the one funniest. So let me think about it. But you know what it is? You know what it is? Actually, one of the funniest, I will say, is definitely in season one of The Mandalorian, when they're playing with when the child is messing with the switches, you know, on the what's it called? The Razor Crest?
And
you know, and he tells him to stop and he keeps doing it. Like it's become a meme in part because it's such a perfect moment, like it's so perfectly filmed. And because we've all, whether we have children or not, we've all dealt with that kid that does exactly what they're not supposed to and looks directly at you while they're doing it. Like the moment was so real, so human, but in that way that, again, like didn't take you out of the Star Wars world at all. And that's kind of like what makes it golden.
Talking about, you know, the universality of the humor, that is sort of, I think, the key to like Star Wars's execution of it. Do you want to talk more about what your theory is on these inexplicable diners that are just in this galaxy far, far away? And why you chose to set the story in one?
I love diners personally. Some of it was just, I love diners. And even as a teenager, you know, I don't know. For me, it was like, as a teenager, diners represented like a place where anything could happen and where lots of different characters would converge. And I mean, that's still true, obviously. But as a teen, it's like your first time running around, you know, the city by yourself maybe, and with your friends. And that's just where like you will find all different kinds of people. So I remember like going to diners. It was an all-night diner in Boston. Oh my God, what was it called? It was like a German punk rock diner. It's closed now. It was in, and it was a 24-hour spot. Crap. I know people are gonna know this and be like, yeah. near Fenway Park. And it was a really cool spot, so we would go there. But also, I worked at a number of diners when I was coming up, like after high school and stuff. I worked at Mel's Drive-In, which is a George Lucas-inspired diner, in fact, from American in San Francisco on Lombard. I worked a graveyard shift there. And that's exactly what it was. You know, there's just tons of characters and weirdos and dorks and cool kids and gangsters and homeless people and everybody, just crossroads, you know? And you just, if you listen, like all of humanity is passing through there, and there's so much to learn. Back then I wanted to be a writer, and I just remember listening and trying to pay attention and hearing all the stories and all the different characters. And so that's always cool to invoke. To me, that's always so cool to invoke. And then I feel like it also Star Wars is great for its callbacks and its echoes and its kind of like homages, right, to other literature, other forms of other films, and I love that about it from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And like whether it's westerns or samurai movies or gangster flicks, and they've done it so well. They did it so well in the Clone Wars. Filoni is a master of that. So I always have in mind, you know, like Pulp Fiction and the diner scene in that movie Heat, you know, when Pacino and De Niro sit down across from each other for the first time. There's just so many classic diner moments, you know, in gangster like lore that I had to pull on that. And then the diner itself, Free Ragos, is one that I wrote about in Last Shot. That was one of my favorite scenes to write in Last Shot for the same reason. So I was like, you know what? Let's go back to the diner. Like, Hosni and Prime is gone later, but in this period is still around. So let me just bring this diner back in and have a good time there.
Yeah, I was really happy to see old Mozin show up again.
Mozin Parappa, man.
Mozin Parappa. These names you come up with. Kerosene Parappa and Vap Tomulus. Could you let us in on the magic trick you used to come up with these perfect names?
I wish there was a great recipe or strategy or a clever answer to that, but I literally just sit around being like, Vap, Veep, Vorp, 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 Veep, Veep, Veep. And then something clicks and it's like, yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, you do want it to like speak to the character some, but in ways that you're not necessarily going to realize as you're writing it. Like, Vap sounds a little bit like vapid, and that character is vapid as heck. And, you know, it makes sense. But I didn't name him that because of that. It just probably later clicked and
yeah,
how these things go.
Well, in the brief time we knew him, the galaxy was a brighter place. The inclusion of a Vap Tomulus and this whole story. Fantastic stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on here with us to talk about it today.
I had fun. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all our readers for listening. You can read Stet and all the other stories from A Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, available now from all your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download. Thank you, and may the Force be with you.